What to do with wiggly students. Let's talk about it. Hey, special educators, it's Jennifer from Positively Learning. I'm going to dip back into this series that we had a few episodes ago. I think it was episode 71 and 72. And it was all about how do you fit in everything that your students need when it's already such a busy day. We've talked about fitting in SEL and fine motor. And today it's going to be all about adding movement. Let's get started. Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. Welcome to episode 74. Let's talk about how to incorporate more movement into your already jam-packed school day. Maybe you're listening to this episode in real time and the weather's getting nicer as we get near the end of the school year and students are itching to get moving outside. Or maybe you're listening to this in the winter and you're in the thick of it and indoor recess is happening and students just need to move. In my experience, it wasn't either one of those. I simply worked with a group of students one school year who benefited from moving. And if I was not meeting their needs in the classroom, that didn't make their needs go away. They were still going to be moving. So I either had to join them or fight against that. And who wants to do that? In this episode, I'd like to share how I diagnosed what was happening in the classroom and determined my students needed much more movement, and then the solutions we came up with. Now, I was already incorporating brain breaks, and I'm sure that you are doing that as well. We understand brain development, and we know how important it is for our students to get up, take a break, and move. It's great for young students, students of all ages, and the adults in the classroom as well. Now, I didn't have anything fancy. I didn't have a smart board in the resource room, so this was just a 2-3 minute break to get up and get the wiggles out. Sounds good, right? Well, one year I had a very active group, and that's the perfect word for it, active. And these brain breaks were not meeting their needs for a couple of different reasons. One is they weren't structured enough, and my students in this group just did not have the impulse control. So I could say, okay, here's some music. Let's take a dance break, 2 to 3 minutes. When the song ends, like find your spot safely on the floor. That was not enough structure. I needed to have a guided movement for my students. Otherwise, like arms were flailing, legs were kicking, people were on the floor, on the tables, maybe leaving the room. So, okay, we needed more structure. I learned that right away. The other thing I noticed is I was waiting a little bit too long. I would be teaching my lesson. Things are going really well. Thought the pacing was working for us, or at least most of us. But you know what? I'm starting to see a little bit of restlessness. Let's take a brain break. And guess what? I pretty much missed the window to provide that quick, efficient brain break. Instead, I waited till I saw signs that they needed one. Then I tried to incorporate one. My students were barely holding on to any kind of impulse control, and I was doing so much redirection to keep everyone safe and to bring them back to learning when the brain break was over. And it just wasn't that effective, and it definitely didn't feel fun. So I learned very quickly to not wait until I see signs of wiggles, but instead use what I know about child development. Students need to move more often and incorporate more brain breaks. Sounds easy, but it wasn't. It wasn't easy for me. When students are learning and things are going well, the last thing you want to do is say, stop, stop all this learning. Let's get up and move. But I learned, specifically with this certain group of students I worked with, that that was exactly what they needed. Let's pause and recap. I learned quickly with this active group that I was waiting a little bit too long to provide a brain break. I was looking for those signs of restlessness, a little bit of wiggles, and then I would provide the brain break. Or I was looking at what we were doing and waiting to the end of an activity. It was a natural transition. And in most cases, I just waited a little bit too long. If I had provided a movement break before I saw signs of restlessness, then I think it would have been a shorter, more efficient break, meeting my students' needs, and then getting back to learning together. So I needed to do it more frequently, and I needed to do it on my students' schedule, not necessarily my schedule. I also mentioned that my students needed much more structure. We didn't have high technology as smart board, so it often looked like calisthenics in groups of 10. So I'd have students count off with me to 10, forwards or backwards. We would do 10 jumping jacks or 10 lunges or 10 push-ups, and it really worked. It was structured. My students knew what to expect. We had tape on the floor, so students would move to their piece of tape so that everybody had like safe spots that they could be on. And for the most part, we kept it under control. So now we've got these brain breaks and they are more structured and occurring more frequently. And it's really helping, but it's still not enough. What can you do? How do you fit more movement into a already jam-packed day? I was pulling small reading intervention groups into the resource room, and these time blocks were often about 50 minutes, which wasn't necessarily developmentally appropriate, but that was the time slot I was working with. So what I did is I would look at the lesson and step back and look at the entire lesson overview. And I would view this 50-minute lesson as 5 lessons with 10 minutes each. And each of those 10 minutes probably had a brain break in it. That is what my students needed. I'm definitely not suggesting writing and teaching 5 different lesson plans, but instead looking at the lesson overview, pulling out the objective, and teaching it 5 times using different modalities. Maybe one is technology and one is teacher-centered with a read-aloud book or visuals students are looking at while they're listening. Or maybe it's independent work like task boxes, or maybe it's a movement activity. Switching up these different modalities not only help increase student attention and engagement, but it also can help that content become more sticky or easier to retain. You're probably doing so much of this already. Think of the lesson hook or the warm-ups you're using, the guided practice, the independent practice. Maybe you're coming together for student discourse at the end or a closing activity. Once you get into the hang of incorporating different modalities and approaching lesson planning that way, it not only becomes fun for your students and helps with learning retention, but it also becomes more fun for you. If you ever felt like you're saying the same thing over and over again, this is going to help you out as well. Now I want to share some specific activities that I learned about when I was using this with my own students. We were doing the brain breaks, we were using different modalities, and clearly movement was their preferred activity. I didn't have that many movement activities, so I just started researching and thinking about the content we were learning and how we could make it more active. And here's what we came up with. I started off very old school and did things like musical chairs and duck, duck, goose, anything that had my students moving around. And of course, this also benefited their listening skills, following directions, social interactions, all good things. I should also mention this school year, the resource room furniture was pretty much pushed up against the wall to create a safe space in the middle. I also used tape on the floor. I would tape a walking path, put X's on the ground for X marks the spot. I had students self-select their spot on the floor and mark it with a piece of tape, and they wrote their name on the piece of tape. I did any of these types of things to provide that structure and the room my students needed to move. All right, some more activities. We did some freeze tag. Now, I don't want to even say the word tag because my students were not running inside the resource room as part of these activities, but it was a lot of movement and then freezing. And my students absolutely loved that. So for a quick phonics activity, it might look like students were moving around the room. And then when I would call out freeze, their eyes would be on me and then they would spell a word, or maybe it was a phonemic awareness activity and they would identify the beginning or ending sound. If it was syllables, they'd name the picture and jump the number of syllables that they hear. anything to incorporate movement with learning. Other activities they loved was hopscotch. We had some phonics hopscotch on the floor. We did a lot of around the world. That was a little tricky though, because my students weren't able to wait long periods of time, but that might work for your students. And then the very favorite activity that I think we played almost every single day was red light, green light. Have you ever played that? It is such a structured game, but my students absolutely loved it. I have a huge set of red light, green light cards in my TPT store. It's a huge set of cards. I have letters to identify initial sounds or letter recognition, CVC words, words with the silent E pattern, and sight words. And these are printed on cards that either have a red light or a green light. And students would line up on this piece of tape and I would hold the cards. They would identify the word or sound, whatever I've asked them to do. If it's a green light, they would take one step forward as they answer the question. And if it's a red light, then they would answer the question and also move quickly back to the line. That's it. That's the whole movement game. My students are actively involved, paying attention, learning, and moving. That was meeting all of their needs. If that sounds like something that you are interested in, I will be sure to put the link in the show notes. I'm also going to link to a blog post. It's called What to Do with Wiggly Students, and it also leads to another blog post that I will link that's all about incorporating classroom movement games, because that was not my thing until it became my thing with the students that I worked with, and I learned so much that school year, and now I'm sharing it with you. Let me know which ideas worked best for you. We're not done with this series yet. I still have another one to go about how to fit in all of those things our students need when we already have a jam-packed day. Hope this was helpful, and I'll catch you next time in the Special Educators Resource Room. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe buttons so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.